K-Mud Podcast presents.
Hello and welcome to Fire Radio for the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council. I'm Gray Shaw. We're going to be talking with Tanner Spees about the Community Wildfire Protection Plan. Tanner's been on the show before, a couple of times, I think. Talking about the defensible space projects that are going on around Southern Humboldt County. And tonight, we're going to be talking about the Community Wildfire Protection Plan, or the CWPP, which is actually a core function of the Fire Safe Councils in Humboldt. So take it away, Tanner.
Yeah, hello, Gray. Thank you for having me on the show tonight, and glad to be here. Yeah, we're talking about the Community Wildfire Protection Plan. That's a framework that's used all over for basically preparing and planning for fire mitigation, fire planning, and it's built into oftentimes different scales to address community preparedness. So for here in Humboldt County, we use a singular CWPP through the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council, as you mentioned. That's a large part of what the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council manages. And yeah, interestingly here, I guess the way to look at this, we were talking earlier about how to kind of describe this because it's kind of a big subject and how to get into it. And we were thinking a good way to do that would be to first describe kind of generally what a CWPP is, how it relates to us here in Humboldt County, and then think about kind of how we use it and where it goes from there. So the history here is we're actually on our third iteration of the CWPP, and that started around 2006. The Humboldt County Fire Safe Council actually operates as kind of an advisory committee for the supervisors. They assign representatives from many of the different groups that all have interests in fire, prevention and fire planning. And that group gets together and basically manages this bigger plan that then can be implemented through grant projects and community volunteerism.
So you say it started in 2006. How did that happen?
It was basically through the original process of creating, the very first CWPP. The Humboldt County Fire Safe Council, as I mentioned, is that advisory committee that is all volunteer. But it utilizes staff time from Humboldt County Public Works Natural Resources Planning. So many of the listeners out there might know Sabelle Emmett, who is the manager and has done really great work in Humboldt County for, public safety and especially around fire preparedness. She's been involved in this, from the beginning and basically helped kind of create the earlier iterations and then, is now leading the next update. So for a CWPP to be relevant, it has to be updated around every 5 years.
Okay. So what happens in a revision?
Well, yeah. So, the revision, basically we just want to keep making sure that the projects that are outlined in the CWPP are relevant and functional, actionable. So to be a legitimate community wildfire protection plan, it has to be collaborative. It has to address the fire prevention and community disaster preparedness. Those are like core elements of it. And that collaboration element is super important because basically that's the way that it gets the information from community members, from residents, from fire departments, from fire safe councils, FireWise communities, state and federal and county organizations and agencies, and gets all that information together and puts it into one cohesive plan. And then, like I said, it has to have actionable items that are identified and prioritized.
So it sounds like there'll be some public participation in this as well as the agencies involved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it has to be a really good, legitimate plan. It has to have public interaction and get information and input from all different parts of the community. You know, the big part of this, of how community wildfire protection plans work is they're the source that we go to that have already identified in a very legitimate process that integrates community input so that we can reference that, say, when writing grant applications. If an organization is writing a grant application that has to do, say, with fire prevention or disaster preparedness, it's a major bonus to that application if you can directly reference the project that you're trying to fund in the current iteration of the CWPP.
So there'll be specs and metrics in the CWPP that you want to include when you're making a grant proposal.
Yeah, it's definitely makes for a stronger proposal. Yeah, at that point, what you're saying, what you're able to show is that that idea has been vetted by the community and signed off on, and it's a legitimate part of this bigger plan.
Right, so if you align with that, then you're liable to get the grant.
Yeah, it definitely makes the application stronger. Yeah, some applications require that.
So this is like a vehicle for getting the work done that needs to get done in order to have defensible space. And what else?
Yeah, well, fuel reduction. Fuel reduction is a major part of it. So a lot of like what has been identified in the past were specific areas, say ingress and egress, roadside clearing that people just driving knew that this ridge or that driveway specifically needed fuel reduction work. And that information can kind of come up and get built into the right place of that plan, and those all those plans come together, and then when somebody actually is putting that grant application or that project together, they can say, see, it's already been vetted, it's already been thought through, and that's it's already oftentimes been entered into a GIS database, and that basically gives it that validity to go to the next step of funding.
Besides physical projects where you're out in the field doing work on the land, what else is included? Say, education.
Yes. Education and outreach are a main part of it for sure. Just the idea of organizing people around awareness of fire risks, of how to make their homes safer from wildfire, how to harden their homes, why the 0 to 5 feet is such an important place to keep free of fuels, all that information and how we put that information out. Because ultimately, a lot of that education and outreach, right, is about cultural shift, right? How do we all teach ourselves how to be more safe and how to adapt to things like wildfire? Another also disaster mitigation. So the creation of NEST programs, for instance, which are, neighborhood systems for organizing, phone tree style. A lot of the community disaster preparedness comes down to that connectivity between people, right? Awareness of when a disaster happens, awareness of planning, pre-planning for disasters. So that all falls within the CWPP structure also.
Okay. Well, what can we expect as the time frame and the opportunities to participate?
Yeah. So the current CWPP was started in 2019, and the Public Works Natural Resources Planning put in an application for a CAL FIRE grant to update the CWPP so it would be in line with the 5-year cycle, and that was awarded. And so that contract is basically in place and moving to kind of the next step, which is connecting with smaller regional fire safe councils. As you know, Gray, the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council, it was in line to be an implementation partner for that. So they will be working closely with the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council in order to do outreach and connect with residents. So there'll be meetings and you know, different group organizing events to try to build information.
So what's the relationship between Humboldt Fire Safe Council and Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council?
Well, I would say it's somewhat like an umbrella situation, but it's actually the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council still is an independent entity essentially, but it's a regional entity that's covering the kind of rough Southern Humboldt region. Right. And interestingly, then we have smaller fire safe councils too, right? Like the Whitethorn Fire Safe Council, or Crooked Prairie, or Edersburg Fire Safe Council. But the Southern Humboldt one in particular works as a really great regional coordinating kind of report out type of fire safe council, right? The monthly meetings of the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council are oftentimes a great place for the smaller fire safe councils to meet and share information and plan projects and, kind of hear what everybody else is doing.
What would be interesting for someone who's curious about the process to know about what they could expect to contribute?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And I think there is a lot of really great information online about CWPPs. And just basically searching Community Wildfire Protection Plan is liable to get a lot of really good information. But you could specifically go to the Humboldt.org and look up Fire Safe Council.
Yeah, I just did a search for Humboldt Community Wildfire Protection Plan, and it came right up on the county site.
Yeah. It's a really good site that has a lot of great information. And, to kind of show some pride in our particular CWPP, the California Fire Safe Council actually links to the Humboldt County one because they were basically showing that it as a really good version of a good example.
Good example.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think that's also been shown by all the successful projects that have been funded by using the CWPP also.
Right. So it's like a template that you can use. Okay. Explain how the CWPP integrates with other groups besides the Fire Safe Council, so the VFDs and FireWise groups.
Yeah, exactly. As you're alluding to there, there's all of these different groups that have a major interest in fire prevention, right, and disaster preparedness. So obviously the Fire Safe Councils, that's their primary mission, right, is especially planning and project implementation, but also the fire departments, the fire districts and fire companies, they have a major part in disaster response and fire mitigation, fire response, fire emergency fire response. And how that works around here, right, is our fire districts and our fire companies are basically responsible for responding primarily to structure fires, traffic fires, traffic collisions, medical calls. And then we have CAL FIRE, who's the authority having jurisdiction for wildfire. So CAL FIRE is also a major partner in the CWPP process. So the way that CAL FIRE and local government fire or fire districts, fire companies work together is a really important part because obviously, the wildfire response, a large part of why people care about that is because they don't want their homes to burn, right? And we don't want a home to burn and spread to the wildland and then threaten other people's homes. So you have the fire response, that's state CAL FIRE. You have the county local government fire, emergency fire response. You have fire safe councils, and then you also have FireWise communities. And FireWise communities are another kind of a very hyper local unit that is built around just a small neighborhood area of people who plan and work together around the FireWise program to specifically make their homes safer from wildfire and to educate other people on how to do that. And that's a lot of what goes into that 0 to 5, zone 0, zone 1, zone 2, all that education and how you can work together to get communities all to make their neighborhood safer.
Okay. So the CWPP provides a structure and a list basically of criteria that would be used to define fire response. for the region. But when a grant is written, who actually writes it?
Well, so grants usually are open to many different organizations to apply, right? Usually there are government agencies can apply for grants, nonprofits can apply for grants, tribal organizations, you know, local government. Many of these grants are basically open to anyone who's affiliated with a group like that. And so they could be written by and they can also be written by different agencies that are partnering together. So a lot of the ones around here, the defensible space projects, for instance, the Southern Humboldt Defensible Space that we just successfully accomplished this summer, the grantee, the actual writer of the grant was the Public Works Natural Resources Planning, but they were working in partnership with the Bryceland Volunteer Fire Department as the implementation partner. So they were able to hire firefighters to actually do the work. Right. And so that was a good partnership. And in that partnership, the Edersburg Fire Safe Council, as part of a grant that they were working on, was able to put in inputs on the actual application as part of a capacity building grant that they were involved in.
Yeah. So the Wildfire Protection Plan is based on collaboration. So it wouldn't be just an individual writing a grant usually. To be effective, to be likely to actually be funded, you'd want to be a part of a group.
It seems like that is a pretty consistent component of success, right? Right. Is partnership, collaboration is usually rewarded because basically it means more community buy-in oftentimes. I would say that a lot of the times the partnership is a big deal. And some grants in particular are really strong.
Yeah, that follows from the fact that it was a collaborative process to begin with to create the plan. So.
Exactly, yeah. Want to make sure that it's – because what we're talking about with most of these grants, right, is public funds, right, and that responsibility to make sure that those public funds are used in a responsible way and that are actually doing things that people want to be done.
Right. So we're live in the studio. If you want to call in – this is Fire Radio. My name is Gray Shaw. We're talking with Tanner Spees, who is on the Fire Chiefs Association. He's also the chief of the Telegraph Ridge Fire Department, and he's well-versed in the Community Wildfire Protection Plan because he was part of the process back in 2019, leading up to 2019. The number to call is 707-923-3911.
Well, yeah. So I think thinking about how it's likely to work, for me, what was interesting was seeing how in what you're saying, the 2019 version, I was involved with that as a firefighter on Telegraph Ridge when Sabelle brought the community together in Redway to get information from the community about to inform the CWPP. And that was the first I'd kind of heard about it or was learning about it. And so myself and the chief at the time of Telegraph Ridge, Peter Lusky and some other people from the Edersburg area came to the meeting and put in what input we could of what we thought was important. And it was really interesting later to see how that information did make its way into it and to see kind of what came out of that as I've gotten to learn more about the CWP and get into it and see what is in there and how that happened. And then interestingly, now to the full point of actually being involved with some of the grant writing that used that input to pursue funding to get those projects done. Mm-hmm. So now I feel really excited about the fact that we're updating it again because I feel even more informed about, you know, the idea of what we could put in there and what could benefit us in the future.
So we have a caller, and I believe we're going to get him on the line. Caller, you're on the air.
All right. I have the California Fair Plan insurance, and they asked me if I lived in a fire-wise community because you can get a discount. But how do I find out? I live in Miranda.
Well, so we do have a We have a map that does show where the FireWise communities are, and that's also available on if you access the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council at humboldt.gov. It'll show you a map of the different areas. I can tell you, though, that actually right now, Miranda is not a FireWise recognized community. Salmon Creek became FireWise recognized a few years ago. And but Miranda very well could be. I would think that it would make a lot of sense for Miranda. You know, you got a lot of great residents there. It does. It's not a huge hurdle, really, to become FireWise recognized. It's totally the whole program is built specifically to make it so that it's accessible to small communities.
All right. Well, great. Thank you, Tanner. I'll work on it.
Yeah. If you, would like any help with that, definitely you can contact us through the Humboldt Fire Safe Council.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're always looking for more participants in the Fire Safe Council. That would be for us. I mean, I'm talking specifically about the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council. There's always an open door, and we have monthly meetings on the
First Thursdays.
Yep, there's one coming up.
Yeah.
5 o'clock.
Yeah, and that's how, I mean, all of this is guaranteed. Every fire department in Humboldt County would be open to, some more volunteerism, all the fire safe councils. And I mean, ultimately, it's because, we're trying to, like I was saying, it's about affecting culture, right? And the more that people get together and work on it, the more we can actually hopefully prepare and alter culture so that we're as safe as possible.
So we have another caller. Whenever you're ready, thanks. You're on the air, caller.
Hey, I just wanted to make a quick comment. I was kind of listening this morning to another show talking about fire, and it's great that everybody's all into it, and hopefully it'll make the acorns better for eating and all kinds of positive things. But the thing that they kept avoiding saying when they were talking about fire, they kept talking about how fire has been suppressed for all these years. And I just feel it's really important to mention that we managed to force into kindling, and this place is all old growth. And that was a big reason why, fire was very successfully used in Indian days. They did all kinds of management, but basically they weren't logging, and the whole place was old growth. And old growth trees don't burn that well. So it's like really important to always remember that we need to bring back the old growth as fast as possible, and it can't be done with just not logging the biggest trees, just by not logging the biggest trees in any area. And I don't want to take up too much time on your show about this, but the current state of logging is worse than ever, in my view. A lot of people think like, oh, the bad logging was in the old days, but look at how the mills have all retooled to log these pecker poles. It's like, this is a disaster, and people really need to like face that reality that need to bring back the old growth as soon as possible. But thanks for doing all this firework, and keep up the good work.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for that input too, for sure. I mean, it makes me think too of the idea of climax forest, right? Of the idea of an ecosystem that has reached its climax state and has reached this level of sustainability because it's basically in this harmonious climax state, and how when we altered it so severely. Right.
Well, then let's talk about how the CWPP incorporates ecology and traditional ecological knowledge.
Yeah, actually, that is a good point. Is the Humboldt County CWPP in particular does it has a section specifically about the restoration of beneficial fire, and that's a pretty significant part of it. Of if you get into that section of it, it does specifically refer to also how. Fire protection, how the fire protection agencies can be aware of their ecological effects also, and how we can limit, hopefully, the negative ecological effects of fire, suppression. Because it is a tricky one, right, when we're really balancing immediate emergency fire suppression needs – but then also what level of ecological destruction, you know, is justified. Right. That's it's a tough one. But so again, hopefully the best way to deal with that is to plan ahead, you know, as much as possible. And what we know at this point, right, is that a forest like this caller just mentioned that is closer to a climax state in our area is going to generally burn at a lower intensity level. Because of that's how the climax forests in our area generally are, right? They have this huge canopy and shaded level with more moisture underneath and large fire-resistant trunks.
Yeah, I think that's that's an excellent point that the caller made, that we're living in a very different forest than the one that was here before the settlers arrived. And the forest that was here had mixed ages and mixed species, and they were not cutting down big trees and logging and making lumber out of them. And there was fire, and fire was always part of the ecology. And that's an element that we are going to need to be returning to in order to save our own skins, but also promote forest health.
Yeah, I think it seems like the Southern Humboldt community does have a pretty advanced understanding of the need for beneficial fire as a tool. I think that's something that the Humboldt County Prescribed Burn Association has done well. The Southern Chapter, Kai Ostro, you know, how they've really gotten the word out there so that we do seem to be a little ahead of the curve as far as local residents, you know, awareness of the benefits of prescribed fire for that. And basically, yeah, you know, we all know what the forest looks like once it's been cleared down and it grows back in brushy tan oak and ceanothus, and how well that burns, yeah. You know, and how we have to get it up. We have to get that canopy up, and we got to get that forest four shaded again.
I think I got away from the engineer about another caller. Yes.
All right.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just had a couple comments and one question. My comments are regarding, you know, current timber practices, at least here locally. Basically, it was the northern, I want to say, you know, the northern spotted owl and some of the environmental regulations, which actually drove, pushed the commercial timber companies toward basically the current mode of harvest and operation. So they basically don't want to have mature forest stands and trees around, at least up to the very recent, basically because of the potential for encouraging critters that are going to restrict their logging. So the unintended consequence of some of the environmental regulations actually help to drive the companies toward their current practices. That's one comment. Second comment is that they would assume you guys are probably partnered up to some degree, or if not, I know Humboldt Redwood Company at least has been involved with some, you know, fire in cooperation with, I don't know if it's CAL FIRE or some other fire risk reduction work on their property and on some of their stands and stuff like that. So they're actively involved as well in doing this kind of work to some extent. And my last question had to do with funding, you know, in this age of like douche government, you know, agency slashing the federal budget and anyways, I just wondered how, if you guys have had discussions with anybody and how you think, I mean, from what I'm aware, a lot of this grant funding, a lot of it, some other projects have been mostly state funded, but with matching federal dollars. So you take away the federal dollars, and especially if the economy tanks, you know, what do you see happening in the near future in terms of like funding even for current projects and for future grant proposals? And I'll take the answer off the air. Thanks for the show, you guys. Bye.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's it's a critical issue right now for sure. Everybody's kind of talking about it.
We'd like to know ourselves the answers to some of those questions.
Yeah, I can tell you. So I'm involved through the Trees Foundation. We are the project coordinators for the Shelter Cove Wildfire Resiliency and Community Defense Grant that is doing the fuel reduction out there. And that's a really great and potentially historic grant project that was built by the RID and specifically the Shelter Cove Fire Department and Chief Nick Pape. And it is really special in the way that it is treating every single home out there. So it's you know, most of the defensible space projects have prioritized vulnerable populations. They made a really good argument of why the protection for the whole community was important. And so we've been implementing that project, you know, through this last year. And it did come to a temporary pause while the USDA was doing reviews. We are very hopeful that it's going to continue. It's just a pure community defense style for fire prevention grants. Hopefully, the current administration's not ending those because those are pretty important. I'd say that might be a bipartisan issue. I mean, I can't imagine that there's a political party that's against community safety and fire prevention. But so we're hopeful it will continue. I'm involved some in a partnership that is looking to put in an application to the next USDA CWPP grant, and we are being told to continue to put that application in. So we're hopeful that round will also be funded. I think right now what we can say is it's just a little bit more up in the air. It's a little bit more iffy, and you know, we'll do what we have to. Right? Yeah,
nobody's got a crystal ball for this.
Yeah. KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
This is Fire Radio. It's a project of the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council. I'm Gray Shaw, and we're joined tonight by Tanner Spies, who's the chief of the Telegraph Ridge Fire Department. He also wears other hats, the Trees Foundation, and also the Southern Humboldt Fire Chiefs Association. He's been experienced in the CWPP process since the last go-around in 2019, and that's the topic tonight, the Community Wildfire Protection Program. So the thing you mentioned about the process out in Shelter Cove is interesting. So that was a grant that was obtained using the language or the specifications that were outlined in the CWPP, and then it was applied for to the USDA.
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is a federal grant, and the USDA has the CWDG, which is the Community Wildfire Defense Grant. And I love the acronyms, right?
CWDG.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's the U.S. Department of Agriculture's fire prevention grant program.
So they're looking at the Community Wildfire Protection Plan also.
Yeah, they need it. It has to be referenced for that application. You have to have projects that are referenced in the CWPP.
I guess we should probably mention that the CWPP process goes back to 2003 when the original law was created under George Bush. Do you remember? Do you have that information on the tip of your tongue? I was just looking it up myself. The Healthy Forest Restoration Act was sort of the genesis of the CWPP.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the idea, right, being that to do what we're trying to do, it has to be at landscape scale, right, at large scale, you know. And so to do that and have it be effective, we need good planning. Right, we need integrated, collaborative planning, and I think that's the basic foundation. And then that planning has to have actionable items so that then we can check it off. And anybody who has managed a program of any sort, like managed anything in their lives or, you know, worked with committees or groups knows, you know, if you don't have a plan with action items that you check off, you know, stuff's not getting done as much.
No accountability.
Yeah, right. So that's basically the big idea of it is let's have these items. And then so when we go through this next phase, we can look at what items on that were accomplished. And that actually gets tracked, you know, through a GIS data collection. And that hopefully in this next iteration is going to be pulled together into a user interface that residents can interact with to see what projects have been accomplished and, you know, how to enter new projects. That's another component of the CWPP is that it's a living document in the way that it can be regularly updated. So even if a project's not in the CWPP, you can go through a process through the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council and to get a project entered into it. So if you know you're planning ahead for something and you want to it's a project that you know, you're hoping to accomplish through potentially grant funding or other methods, you can actually go through the process to enter that project into the CWPP, even if it's not there already.
So what is an example of something that was not in the CWPP in 2019 that we can look forward to being considered for this next iteration?
Well, I think – I mean, that's exactly what we're going into thinking about. Yeah, and that's a great question because exactly what is it that needs to be in there? And I guess from my personal opinion right now, you know, there was a lot of organizing and collaboration in this iteration that was really good. But there's things that I feel like, you know, I would like to see that are direct, you know, projects, specific projects that, you know, I have just basically learned about from my own experiences. And that's kind of why it needs to be collaborative, is because I'm sure other people are out there too. You know, I bet each one of us has maybe some ideas in their neighborhood, you know, of what needs to happen there.
So thanks, Tanner. Let me see what else is on the list for what we're going to be talking about. If you come up with something, just go jump right in. I want to loop back to how to be involved. This is a project that's going to be going on for a couple of years?
Yeah, likely.
Okay. And so is it just through the Fire Safe Council, or what are some other ways that they might get involved?
Well, I would say primarily, right, wherever listeners, residents who might be living, you know, where they're living, right, there's very likely close to you some organization already that deals with this, right? It could be your fire department. It could be a FireWise group or Fire Safe Council. And if there isn't one very close to you, then, you know, you are always welcome, as Gray said, to the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council, which is an excellent place to go to be involved. But I would say it does make tons of sense to start really close, you know, to wherever you are. So make sure that, you know, your fire departments know about this and are going to get involved. And if you don't have a FireWise group or a Fire Safe Council, consider that maybe your neighborhood could build one. The FireWise community, that's the smallest group, like that is like usually fire safe councils are a little bit more project oriented, a little bit like kind of bigger project minded. FireWise, what's so great about it is already there's this great program already built. It kind of helps you
describe that program.
All right. Yeah. The FireWise program is an NFPA program that is managed right in California by Cal Fire. And it's a recognition program. And the recognition is that it recognizes that the community has done these specific action items that show that their community is working to be more safe from wildfire, right? Safer from wildfire in the way that they are organizing. They've created a community wildfire risk assessment. That's one of the requirements. And that's basically just this analysis of your neighborhood of like what, you know, what is the makeup? What are the strengths and the weaknesses? And you put that together into your risk assessment. Then you create a 3-year action plan. It's a kind of like a mini CWPP, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And that you put on one FireWise event a year. Mm-hmm. Those are your basic requirements to be FireWise recognized.
It's a low threshold entry.
It is, yes. Yeah. And that's on purpose because this is that base level to get people involved. And then as that caller earlier mentioned, it is true that if you are on the California Fair Plan and you show them the recognition certificate from your community FireWise, you will get a deduction. You know, you'll get a discount on your price. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there
on
is
your
that.
Rate.
Yeah, on your insurance rate. Right. Yep. That is an incentive. You can also, you know, we do use FireWise communities as showing components of a community working together. That can also be very useful for writing good grant narratives. You know,
collaborating among FireWise groups.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. Showing that you're having that coordination already with residents. Mm-hmm. And in general, like in the past couple of years, the Humboldt Fire Safe Council County Coordination Team is what it's called. And that's a California Fire Safe Council program run through the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council. One of the things that we would do in that County Coordination Team is kind of help facilitate and offer assistance to residents to build FireWise communities. Kind of give them tools, kind of help them get it off the ground. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, now we have Benbow in the Southern Humboldt area, Benbow, Salmon Creek, Edersburg, the Lower Mattole, Petrolia and Honeydew. And then recently Whale Gulch was recognized too. So
you might have touched on this a little bit, but what is the process like for someone getting involved in the CWPP development directly?
I think it's going to have a lot to do. So there's going to be community meetings, right? And those community meetings are likely to be facilitated either by the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council or the Humboldt County Fire Safe Council or both. Right. And they will be meetings that will probably be facilitated and organized in order specifically to educate residents about what's happening and then to get information, to gather information. So, for instance, if you go back to that picture where you think that, defensible space is what's most needed in your neighborhood, something like that. You've seen that defensible space has been implemented in other places, but maybe your neighborhood, it hasn't, you haven't had a real effective program there or something. You could come to one of these meetings and identify your neighborhood and specifically identify that's a need that you think is important there. One thing I'm a little excited about personally, and this is just because this is kind of the world I'm in, is we've been doing defensible space and we've been doing ingress egress. I think there's this exciting potential to start to tie in beneficial fire, prescribed fire, as a second layer of defensible space around homes.
Yeah, just to clarify what you're talking about, the ingress egress is the restoration of ways to get in and out from places that don't have that. So Salmon Creek is actually having it has a project that's active right now to create that. We have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Gail Eastwood, and I'm current chair of the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council, and I'm following this conversation about community groups, and I just wanted to put in a plug for people considering using this CWPP update process as a way to start a group in your neighborhood or to join the action of them if there is one. And I like to one comment on the current plan is that there are some neighborhoods that have been pretty active in getting the projects that are important to them into the plan. And there are other places that are just holes in the plan, and this kind of correlates with where there is an active group that's thinking about what needs to be done and advocating for it. So, and it doesn't take a lot of bureaucracy to start a group. The Tanner did a great job of describing the FireWise program, and I just would like to add one point that I didn't hear from him, which is that it takes a minimum of 5 households to start a FireWise group. If you want your home to be certified, it can be your little road system that does that. And it's even less work, bureaucratically speaking, to have a little neighborhood fire safe council. There's absolutely no bureaucracy involved. You it's like starting a book club. You call yourself a fire safe council, and ta-da, there you are. Now, of course, to be a real fire safe council, you actually have to do some work. But you don't have to jump through any hoops just to be able to start doing that. And once you're a fire safe council, then you kind of have some voice. You know, you can have something that you want, and you can call your say you want to influence a law. You can call your representative and say, okay, this is Gail Eastwood from the Brightland Fire Safe Council, or from the Elk Ridge Fire Safe Council, and we think such and so. So we're hoping to see at these meetings that we're going to be holding during the CWPB update process, we're hoping to see people from some of these unrepresented areas kind of standing up and going, okay, you know, how do we get our neighborhood more protected? And in the meantime, before meetings start, you're always welcome to come to our Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council meetings, as Gray said, and the link is always at the top of our web page by the day before the meeting, and probably also on our Facebook page.
And these are Zoom meetings.
Yeah, they're Zoom meetings, so it's not hard or expensive for most people to show up on screen. And that's the website, by the way, is sohumfiresafe.org. Anyway, the council itself would be happy to help you think about starting a little group in your neighborhood that would take care of your local issues. And I have to say that the most powerful place for stimulating action here has been stuff that comes from the grassroots, from the local people who are really aware of the needs of their own neighborhood. And Edisburg is a great example of that, and so is Salmon Creek. Salmon Creek has, my gosh, they got a, I don't even remember how big a grant to work on the fuels reduction around their home.
Around the watershed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Around the whole, yes, yes.
That's where the ingress egress project is.
So they've got, yes, and the they have the road, the ingress systems covered, I mean being funded, and they also have the fuel break in cooperation with the mm-hmm. with the bordering state park.
And this is all possible because of the collaboration.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
And because of you know, the people who live in Salmon Creek who wanted it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they got together.
Yeah. Getting your project into the CWPP is one thing, but then that doesn't make it happen. You know, if you have a neighborhood group that's going to say, hey, we'll get the landowner permissions, or we want to write this grant, you know, if you have some juice behind it on your end, those are the projects that are going to manage to be finding funding.
Yep. Well, Gail, thanks for calling in. It's great to hear your voice. Gail's been with the Fire Safe Council for quite a while, and I wanted to mention that there's just a few minutes left as we're winding down the hour. This is an unprecedented situation that we're in. You know, we've created a fuel situation that has not existed before in history, and so we're all figuring this out. We're not supposed to have answers. We are, however, needing to figure out the answers together and come to decisions and agreements about how to proceed. And that's what the CWPP is an example of. The thing about the unprecedented situation is that we have an opportunity to team with each other and to loop back to what a caller earlier mentioned. We're actually being welcomed to do that by the tribes who knew how to manage fire before we got here. And they have just been empowered to do their traditional ecological knowledge around fire through SB 310. It was just on the news program before we went on the air, which officially recognizes the use of cultural fire in the state of California. And that's a program you might want to loop back to in the archives if you didn't catch it, or also look it up online. But SB 310 just passed was actually just made into law on February 27. So, well, here we are. And do you have any closing thoughts, Tanner, before we wrap it up here?
Well, yeah, I think just in reference to what you were just talking about, I think the big picture and kind of the solutions we're looking for and how the solutions do have to start with kind of the humble recognition, right, of what got us to where we're at. The humble recognition of that, you know, as humanity, we have basically had impacts with unintended consequences. And, you know, that in order to find solutions, we have to like accept, you know, that what in the past was not right.
Yeah,
right. And have humility, not done right. And move forward with that too, so that we can find solutions.
Yeah. And I'm personally touched by the welcome that we have received to participate from the tribes in this process. They recognize they probably need us as much as we need ourselves to participate in solving this, but they have their own contribution of the deep relationship to the land that we haven't learned yet.
And I'm hopeful too that our culture here in Southern Humboldt, the people who do, you know, all of the people who live here. I know many people who do live here because they love it, because they love the forests and they love the land. That's a large reason why I think a lot of us live here.
Yeah.
We live oftentimes a little bit of outside of human culture and sometimes purposely. You know, I know the whole idea of WUI, right, wildland-urban interface, and then we talked about it on one of the earlier shows. We actually live, many of us live in wildland-urban intermix. Meaning that our little house is urban, you know, and then we're intermixed with massive amounts of forest around us. And I have to say, personally, that's the way I live, and I love it. I love having forest around me. So how do you have that a good relationship with, you know, your human habitation inside your forest? And that's a lot of what we're talking about, because fire is just a part of the forest, and it has to be. But how that affects us, we have some impact on.
We've been listening, actually talking with Tanner Spees, who is the fire chief for the Telegraph Ridge Fire Department. He also is with the Trees Foundation and the Southern Humboldt Fire Chiefs Association. Tanner, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So this has been Fire Radio. It's a project of the Southern Humboldt Fire Safe Council. I'm Gray Shaw. Thanks for joining us tonight.
This has been a KMUT podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.